Yes, Late Night Live, available on ABC Radio National, Radio Australia and the World Wide Web, and in various parallel universes throughout this vast and problematic cosmos. Now, tonight's discussion with my distinguished friend from America, Professor Max Tegmark, picks up on one we had a couple of weeks ago with the Russian cosmologist Rashid Sunyaev and my old friend and collaborator Paul Davies. I was suggesting to Paul that the notion of parallel universes, a multiplicity, perhaps an infinity of them, in which all sorts of possibilities inevitably occur, rather undercuts his confidence in the existence of God, because, as you know, the principal argument that Paul makes is that this universe is so wonderfully constructed it needed a lawmaker, hence God, and hence, of course, Paul's big prize, the Templeton Prize for Theology and Science. Paul didn't like that at all. He got rather testy with me, I thought, although the Russian Rashid Sunyaev was much more sympathetic. So let's pick it up. Let's pick it up with Max Tegmark. Now, for some people in this world, one program like this is one too many. We do have our critics. And for these people, one of me is more than enough. Well, bad news. Apparently out there, come closer to the radio, out there in the cosmic goo, there are hundreds of LNLs with multiple doppelgangers of your dilapidated presenter. And according to Max, this conversation, and indeed your listening, is happening out there in these parallel universes. Now, it's all getting a bit confusing. So let's talk about parallel universes, bits of M theory, string theory, that elusive 11th dimension that makes it all hang together. And on the phone from his home in Pennsylvania, we've got him. Max is Professor of Physics and Astronomy from the University of Pennsylvania. And, Max, there's no doubt in your mind that these parallel universes do exist?
I think the smart money is on that there is at least some of them out there, yes.
The smart money. Not all the money, of course. There are some people who would still bet that these are sort of nice little intellectual artifacts rather than scientific facts.
I think it's important to remain humble when speculating about these things. What's really striking to me is, though, that there's actually more than one indication that there are parallel universes, and there may even be more than one kind out there.
Tell us a little bit. Just take us exploring. Give us some of the arguments, pro and con.
Okay, maybe we can start with the kind which has been around the longest. Are you familiar with a guy named Giordano Bruno?
Yes, we've talked about Bruno in the past.
So he argued that if space is infinite, then no matter how unlikely it is to make planets and so on, sooner or later, if you go far enough, you're going to find one.
We've got a really bad line, Max. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to hang up, and we shall try again. So, do we have Max back? We do. Max, are you there?
Parallel universe? Yes.
Well, that's a bit better. That's a bit better. So let's go back to where we left off, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so Giordano Bruno expressed this idea quite a long time ago, in fact, 400 years ago. And you know what happened to him?
It wasn't a happy outcome, was it?
No, in this particular universe, he was actually burnt at the stake. Year 1600.
There's been no move to burn you at the stake yet, though, has there, Max? Although I know a few Australian scientists who'd like to poke a bit of kindling under you, but so far you've survived.
But what I find really remarkable isn't just that the people haven't been quite so gung ho about the kindling, but that there's been more and more evidence recently, just in the last year even, that Bruno was in fact right, because now this question of whether space is infinitely big or not is one which is very open to actually testing. You don't have to go in a spaceship necessarily and go very far away to check this out, because the leading theory for how space could not be infinite is not that there's a sign out there saying, you know, space ends here, mind the gap, but rather that space is curved and somehow warps back on itself, like Einstein envisioned in his gravity theory. And there was an experiment, a fantastic satellite called the Wilkinson Microwave Anisotropy Probe that NASA presented results from just February this year, which measured this curvature of space and showed that to the precision they could tell, space looked perfectly flat, indicating an infinite space.
So now, Max, this new feeling and this new attitude gives us a situation where, as I understand it, scientists are discussing as many as four distinct types of parallel universes. So for many, the key question is not whether the multiverse exists, but rather how many levels it has.
That's right. So the sort of universe we've talked about here that goes back all the way to Bruno are simply other regions of space that are so far away that we can't observe them, but that nonetheless exist. And just because there's infinitely many planets, basically every possible combination, every possible way that this phone call could play out actually happens, as long as it's consistent with the laws of physics.
Hmm. Well, that does undermine the theological underpinnings of God as the great designer, doesn't it? Because it means that you have got an infinite sort of randomness.
Well, but there's still perfect law and order in any one place. So what's different in each of these parallel universes isn't the laws of physics. It's just the initial conditions, the way things start out. And things start out a little bit differently in each place and unfold differently. So I think the question of whether this is bad news for people who believe in God or not is really not an obvious one at all. And I'd say I know a lot of scientists I greatly respect who are atheists, and a lot also who believe in some sort of divine being. If anything, I think this parallel universe business makes us more humble, which if it succeeds in doing that, I think is a good thing, because I really don't like this attitude that everything is designed to center around us humans and we're the center of the universe.
No, I've always found that a very irritating and vainglorious view. Now, what would it be like to live in one of these parallel universes which is eerily like our own?
It would be just like here. And in fact, those other copies of us having conversations are asking the same question, of course, and as they look around the room, you know, it's the same laws of physics, same everything. However, that was only the first of those four levels, right? And because of different evidence, the so-called theory of inflation of the early universe, we also believe that there probably are parallel universes where the laws of physics as they appear to us are different. For example, we have three dimensions of space and one dimension of time here, and there are quite likely other parallel universes with five dimensions of space, or seven, maybe even places with two time dimensions, or places with different elementary particles where the laws of physics then are completely different, and things could happen that could never take place here.
Okay, well that's another. Keep pushing the envelope for us.
And then a third one is
Now, Max, have we reached is that it? Is that the full range of possibilities you've revealed to us so far?
Well, I think if anyone is going to try to put kindling under my own funeral fire, it's probably for another even more crazy idea that I've personally suggest, which is that maybe there's even a fourth level, because the third level and the second level of parallel universes are still within basic laws of physics that people have already written down. So you could imagine that one day, you know, Ed Witten or someone is going to find the equations that describe everything there is to describe about our universe and have a theory of everything. But then you can ask yourself, why those equations? You know, there are other perfectly good equations also, and it seems sort of undemocratic and unfair that what looks just as elegant to a mathematician should somehow be discriminated against by physics. I suggested that, in fact, probably everything, all mathematical structures we should describe by some sort of equations, logically self-consistent, have equal rights to exist physically too, which would make an even more diverse universe. You could live in a universe, for example, where time is discrete instead of continuous. Or
well, Max, isn't it also feasible that all these models of universes could coexist?
Yes, absolutely. So in this vision, in fact, it's a four-level hierarchy where there's a multiverse of parallel universes within each one of the branches of the bigger branch in the tree. So it's a pretty dizzying reality if it's anything like this. Yet, you know, I think it's pretty sobering to just look back at history and ask, you know, how has our view of reality evolved over the ages? Because our perception of how big the universe is has just grown by an insane amount. When Eratosthenes in ancient Greece figured out the size of the Earth, I think it blew people's mind how big it was.
Yeah.
And
well, it's getting
realized,
bigger all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now bigger and smaller.
Yes. And then when people realize how far away the stars are, which wasn't that long ago, again, it blew people's minds that there was just way much farther away than the planets and the sun, and the stars were just suns farther away. And now, still in the beginning of the 1900s, you know, there was a famous debate between Shapley and Curtis about whether these blobs in the sky called nebulae were just little nearby gas clouds, or whether they were what was then called island universes, and what your Australian astronomy colleagues now would call galaxies. And again, there was a revolution where we realized that everything was thousands of times bigger than we thought. And today, with when we already have photos of things which are so far away that it's taken light almost the whole time since the Big Bang to get to us, few people would suggest that space just abruptly ends at the place where we can't see beyond.
Yeah.
There isn't more.
I recall a recent discussion amongst physicists trying to understand how the Big Bang happened,
mm-hmm.
the singular event of the singularity. And they came to the conclusion, and I know this is something that you rather like, that it happened when a couple of parallel universes got in each other's way.
The ekpyrotic universe hypothesis involving the collision of two so-called brains in higher dimensions. Yeah, it's just fun speculation, although I think one has to remember also that the most charming aspect of being a physicist is how much we don't know, and that there's still these super basic questions that we have to grapple with the answers for. So if there's any people listening out there who are thinking about going into a career in physics, I say go for it, because it's not like it's all over.
Do trying to cope with these extraordinary ideas give you migraines, or do you always find it exhilarating?
In this particular parallel universe, I'm not prone to migraines. And I don't know, I think all in all, people sometimes ask me if it makes me depressed to feel so insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but I take sort of the opposite point of view.
So do I. I take comfort in being almost entirely irrelevant.
First of all, if I were to only consider the really big things the most important, of course, then I could sit and depress myself thinking about how the sun is going to eventually run out of fuel and toast the Earth and so on and so forth. And obviously, the things I really get joy from, the reason I was so happy to wake up this morning was because of little things. The people I love, I enjoy listening to music, talking to nice people. So that's where I get my strength, and it doesn't really matter if there's going to be a big crunch or something else.
As long as it's not on Thursday or at the weekend.
Exactly. And also, the problems we have. I was fined $142 for insufficient snow shoveling, for example. And in a moment like that, when you're standing there at the mailbox reading this thing in disbelief, it's just so refreshing to think about the utter insignificance of that in the, you know, the grand scheme of things.
Look, I couldn't agree more. I think it's wonderful. I live in a meaningless universe, and the only meanings that one attributes to it are entirely subjective, but it means you don't live by someone else's rule book or a dogmatic text that the sort of dogmatic text that rather divide the world, I'm afraid. Now, You know the story better than I do, and I'm searching in my mind to think of the people involved, but some scientists in visiting the UK for a convention catch the train down to London to see a production of Copenhagen, a play produced by Michael Blakemore, a friend of mine, and on the way down to see this terribly important play about physics, they come up with the idea, or they get very excited with the idea of parallel universes. How many physicists are now consumed by this notion? Is it the hot idea that's running through the whole profession?
I'd say thinking about parallel universes, or admitting that you're interested in parallel universes, is still quite a taboo in physics. Physicists have this funny sociological thing where they have to pretend that they're bored with what they're doing, you know, the search for truth that Popper wrote about. Of course, no one is disinterested, right? Otherwise, we would be lawyers and make more money, right? But we're supposed to pretend we're not too excited about stuff. And parallel universes is a great example of something which has traditionally had a very bad reputation for that reason. And it's sort of on anything that smells too much of philosophy also is considered sort of suspect. Yet, it's been interesting to see, especially in the last few years, how this taboo has gradually been loosened up quite a bit.
How would Einstein react to this debate? Would he be affronted by it, irritated, or excited?
I think he would be excited, because to me the hallmark of Einstein was that he would never trash an idea just because it didn't seem to agree with everyday common sense. He would look at the equations instead and say, well, what do they have to say on the matter? And that was really his hallmark. And in the last few years, and a larger and larger number of very respected physicists have actually gone up in front of big meetings and talked about stuff like this.
Well, some of them, or at least one, has said that it may be possible to create a universe in the laboratory.
Yeah, that's right. And another, Steven Weinberg, for example, has repeatedly now attacked another big taboo, the so-called anthropic principle, and talked about how if you postulate that there is a bunch of parallel universes, each with a different amount of this so-called dark energy, that could actually solve a problem, which is one of the biggest problems with us right now, which is to understand why there is this weird dark energy here, and yet why there's so little of it compared to what people thought. And I remember I was at a conference about 5 years ago when the less famous physicist mentioned the so-called A word, and there was an audible hissing through the room. But of course, when it's Steve Weinberg saying it, you know, people don't dare. And then when people see that someone like him can get away with it, other people get less afraid of talking about this also. I was expecting...
Max, we've got to wind it up, unfortunately. In this universe, we're out of time, but I'd like to thank you for some tantalizing thoughts. Professor Max Tegmark. Max is Professor of Physics and Astronomy. It's pronounced astronomy in another universe, at the University of Pennsylvania.